Deuteronomy 18. Deuteronomy 18, turn verse 9. When thou art come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Now, you have to understand what we teach and believe here, that the land, the promised land of Israel, and the associated movement of where the holy places were at different times, where they, when they moved into Israel, they were allowed to, they had the tabernacle in the wilderness, and they moved it to different places. And those places were places of worship as long as the tabernacle was there at these different places. But once the temple was dedicated, then it was illegal to worship at those different places. And those places were the seven mountains that represent the high places up here. So what we're really saying is that for a time you can't exist without worshiping at these different places. But once the temple is dedicated, we've come into the land, then we are in the New Jerusalem, and we can never leave it. It possesses us. We are in the New Jerusalem, and the New Jerusalem is in us. And so that is the promised land. Does everybody comprehend that? Now it says, so when you are come into the land, which I believe we have all come into the land, which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not learn to do after the abominations of those nations. Now it lists a number of the abominations. There shall not be found among you any one that maketh his son or daughter to pass through the fire. Now, in the valley of Hinnom, they actually caused their children to pass through fire. What it was the, you remember, it was the god, what's his name, Molech. He had the body of a man and the head of a bull. They stretched out their arms, and they built a huge flame inside of them, and then they passed their children through the arms, and anyone that got burned meant that they were not. They were defiled, or they were unworthy. Well, what does it mean to pass children through the fires of Molech now? We've only studied this about 300 times. Gary, what does it mean?
To make your children lead up to your idolatry. Put your own problems and standards of approval on them.
Right. So we used to use the example, finish your broccoli so you can have your pie. Well, that's passing the children through the fires of Molech. It's all of these value systems. It's saying to your child, you know, it's like I can imagine Kevin as a little boy and he's going to a party and he's a little shy and he has a terrible time and his mother tells him, tell Johnny you had a good time. Well, that's passing your children through the fires of Molech. It's causing the children to adopt some other system of thought other than faith. Everybody understand that a little bit?
No.
Huh?
Thank you for keeping up. A little mullet never hurt him, but.
Well, that's what I was saying. You have to do it. Otherwise, the children will become wild animals. But you have to know what you're doing so that you don't give it breath, you give it understanding. Does that communicate?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because if you had your mouth full, you forgot to say thank you, it would be okay to say thank you.
Well, either way, you're still causing...
I understand that you've been miserable. I'm not going to force it a lot.
Well, no, but you probably will at some times.
Yeah.
But the point of it is to understand what you're doing. All right? Now... I didn't want to stop there. That's not what I want to talk about. Okay. There shall not be found among you anyone that maketh his son or his daughter to pass through the fire, or that useth divination, or an observer of times, or an enchanter, or a witch. Now we could go through each one of those, except I want to concentrate on the next one. Or a charmer. Now a charmer, the word in Hebrew means to cause to unite in something other than the fear of God. So the word charming here can be political alliances, it can be any kind of an agreement or an alliance that's based on anything other than the fear of God. Now that's why we've been so careful here, hopefully we have, that this community isn't based on anything other than the cross. The cross has to result in the fear of God. But if we started preaching the community, then we would be using charming. It would be an illegal act. Does everybody understand that a little bit? Well, it's not that. It's causing you to try to unite by some other means other than the fear of God. It can be uniting by common interest, it can be uniting by, you know, by race, by occupation, by sex, by anything other than the fear of God.
By doctrine.
Right, if it's a false doctrine, all doctrines are false if they don't have the fear of God.
The other night we read about fighting with Amalek and Moses' arms being up and our arms being down. Well, because a new Toyota held it up. That was good.
Yeah. So it's all, so what I want. So charming, then, it has to include some of the more esoteric things like hypnosis, like using crowds and the crowd activities to cause there to be a false sense of unity. You know, we've said before, the use of music, the use of lighting, the use of repetition, the use of, in public speaking, the great speakers of the world, their cadence somehow, the cadence of their speech, that's why you can listen to Hitler and even if you don't understand German and he will still affect you. Because the cadence of his speech is causing you to unite in something other than the fear of God. And it's normally what you do, if you're a really good speaker, you understand that your the cadence of your speech and the tempo and the, all these things, they are harmonics of some aspect of natural body functions. And that's what causes this uniting by something other than the fear of God.
You become part of the mob.
You become,
the
crowd, right. Right.
I was watching Jake last night with the audio off, and I could follow along.
Jake's does all, I mean, great speak, any kind of great speaker does. But we have to see that we cannot attempt or try to use, we cannot unite on anything other than the fear of God. We can't even unite based on common interests. We can't unite based on a common name other than the name of Him. We can't unite based on family. We can't unite based on anything other than the fear of God. If we do, it's charming. So all of your attempts of family, the blood is thicker than water. No, it's not. All of these things, everything in your whole societal background is various attempts to unite. Whether it's politically, whether it's clubs, whether it's little gangs that you have, it's using something to cause people to unite and have this appearance or feeling or obligation to keep this togetherness, and it's charming if the foundation of it isn't the fear of God. Now, this is massive. Now, even the word Hebron, which was one of the places where the ark was, the word Hebron is from that word. Haber, which means it's charming. It means to unite on some basis other than the fear of God. So all of the things, the basis of uniting Israel based on, you know, the fact that they're supposedly genetically Israel, or even they use the words, that's all illegal. Anybody think of other examples?
Well, I was just thinking of the idea of charming is sort of like dangling something out there that everybody is suddenly focused on, and that's what unites them, because everybody's focused on this one thing, and we only have one thing that we want to be focused on.
Right.
Well, we've done an investigation or something, it seems sometimes you get, I've got a rush on this one.
Sure. That's why it's called a Harry syndrome.
Yeah.
It's like if you're going to go attack or kill somebody, then, you know, spiritually or whatever, then it's like you get,
and it seems that there, the preaching of the cross, there is that doesn't exist because it's a mystery.
Right.
So there, you know, I mean, you can focus on anything. Focus on the Holy Spirit. You know, focus on the majesty
right.
of God. You know, whatever.
If you focus on the anointing of the Holy Spirit, then that is charming.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the cross sort of is a self-extinguishing kind of thing. You get all charged up about the cross, but you're going like, you know, well, that means I'm, you know, wait a minute here. I can't really do that. You know, it doesn't work. I got to make it into something else or change it just a little bit. So
well, the reason that we... I'm talking about this because I was again watching religious television. And then I started thinking about all of the ways that in the past that I've tried to unite, you know, when I was in politics. And everything was... it's endless, and it just struck me, and I proved it. I won't go into all the details, but the charming is trying to unite by any other means other than the fear of God. Now we see it in this, you know. For instance, Gary used to try to unite with Judy because the scripture said, you should submit to me, and you should be this good little wife. And so he was trying to charm her to unite something other than the fear of God. You understand that? So what I'm trying to get you to see is how often you do this, and how often you see it in the world, because it's time that we repented of that so that we can move on to a higher dimension of his mystery.
This makes great sense in thinking about wanting to unite around somebody's opinion about something, which is times past, not nobody here right now, but in times past, there are people who, you know, listen to talk radio all day, and then you come back and it's like, well, what do you think about this? You know, it's
right.
Like, let's get pumped up about this or that. You know, it's like, it's always seemed kind of goofy.
Right.
This is like sort of an overarching principle that, you know.
Well, it's also the thing that people used to unite because they got intrigued by me, you know, or by the preaching or when I was in radio especially. I mean, that's just as bad. That's 10 times worse probably. Because
stupider.
It's stupider.
It's also real bad at the fall for it. If you don't understand this and think, oh, I'm doing God's work now, then look at all the people who have united, right?
Yeah. Well, and again, the idea of causing unity or causing people to gather is simple. I mean, I was a very good speaker when I was in politics. We could gather hundreds of thousands of people. You know, and it's meaningless. I mean,
well, a politician then by definition is a
charmer.
And any spiritual speaker who isn't preaching the cross would by definition be a charmer.
Right.
Good illustration is in Christ fed the 5,000, unified them, and then immediately started saying,
unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you're none of me. Right. Everybody left except the 12.
So really, one of the proofs that Jesus was not a charmer was the fact that everybody deserted him.
Yeah. Okay, can everybody get a handle on this? Can you see how we are all so guilty of this? I mean, it's so, as John said, it's so overriding. It's so ubiquitous that it's like, how can a fish describe water?
Whenever we want people to agree with our opinion in a group setting, I guess,
yeah,
that would be a good example.
Or even two, one or two. I mean,
you've got to be always giving that up. And
unless you're bipolar, then you could have this concern yourself.
Well, I think that might happen.
Self?
Are we all in agreement in here?
Unless you have terminal Tourette syndrome.
Yeah.
But it's vital that you see this because, I mean, you try it internally with all kinds of means because you try to have unity within you, not just, you know, that's really why unity, in order to be at peace of mind, you have to have unity within yourself. Yeah, and so what you're doing, you do this by drugs, by alcohol, by movies, by television, by drama, by sports. You do it to cause the voices to be quiet for a while, and there's this illusion of a false peace. There's peace where there is no peace, because you've tried to get unity or agreement within these voices by something other than the fear of God. And so what I'm telling you is that most of the use of this is in you alone. That's where the charming comes. And it's one of these things, if you're using it internally, then you're using it externally. And so the idea of trying to gain unity of the voices so that there is peace by any of these other means is spiritually illegal and has to be repented of. Capisce?
Yeah, usually we pass the baton around to whoever we want to be. Who's the voice today that's going to be?
Yeah, which voice is going to be up there
today? God's complaining, he takes the baton away. He's got the baton.
Right.
That's when,
man, when you hear this, you just realize, like when I hear it, it's just, there's no doubt.
I know.
It's just,
I've known that a long time.
We all know that. But when Leslie said that, this is massive. I mean, that's just enough to, like, rock the hot potato.
Well, you've been talking about this for a year.
Yeah. I want to give a report on something real quick that some of you know about. I finally needed a little good news about this Sunday. My mom and I had a meeting with my divorce attorney, you know, and we're taking that apart a little bit, but you know, the bottom line is that, you know, if I take my hands off of it, don't get in there and start trying to fix it, I just drive myself crazy.
Well, not only that, you screw it up, because you don't understand that what goes on in your head is just it's the same thing as doing it from the spirit standpoint. And so if you're not at peace, if you haven't created the vacuum in here, then it can't take place externally.
So what she's going to do is she's going to call and set up for a mediation. And then if we don't work that out, then it'll go to trial. But so I was relieved.
Yeah. Well, let's read the rest of this, and then we'll
talk. I think what you just said is so important. The fact that if you don't leave it alone, God's not going to touch it.
Right. He can't. You've got to create the vacuum internally. That's what it means to be humble. That's what it means to be poor in spirit. That's why you must understand this idea of the altar. The altar is ever before you, and any time that there is anything that is of troubling to you, you put it on the altar, but then you can't take it back. It's illegal to touch the altar.
Yeah.
And it's illegal to touch anything that's on the altar.
You can't play some game and say, this isn't important and I'm going to ignore it. That's just a game.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
It is important, and what you do is you take that important thing and you give it to God. You put it on the altar and keep your hands the hell off of it.
And that's what you think. There are many of you who, I won't name names this morning because I'm nice, but there are some people whose high place identity is to be a mourner. They think it's they're fulfilling their purpose when they are concerned about people. Well, that's bullshit. I mean, that's one of these high place personalities that goes, it's up there cutting themselves for the sins of Israel. Well, the check's already been paid. So, the idea, that's just as bad as you know, a whoremonger. Or any of the other high place identities that cause the mystery of Christ to be defiled. So, there is no value. There is no, you're being deceived if you think that you're in any way fulfilling something in you if you are concerned for somebody or something. That is one of the slickest ways the Antichrist uses to deceive you, because you think it's righteous to be concerned. Peace? Or a charmer, or a consulter with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or a necromancer, for all that do these things are an abomination unto the Lord. And because of these abominations, the Lord thy God doth drive them out from before thee. Thou shalt be perfect with the Lord thy God. For these nations which thou shalt possess hearken unto observers of times, unto diviners, but as for thee, the Lord thy God hath suffered thee, so to hath not allowed thee so to do. Now let's go to Revelation. This was just a sort of a preliminary thing to get in Revelation 13.
I say you haven't managed your time well.
What?
I was just thinking that a whoremonger may be a worse high place than the most part of that.
Alright. Josanna, I'm going to smack you with this cane really, really hard. Even if you got
back.
Yeah, I know. That's why I'm not going to do it. Okay, I stood upon the sand of the sea. Now, what this means is you have risen above the human race. The sea is the human race, and you're standing on the shore of the sea. I can show you 20 places where the sea is described as the human race. So, if you trust me on that for a minute. I stood upon the sand of the sea. Now, you can't, if you're in the sea, you can't see any of this. Right? You have to come out of the sea. And saw. I'm not going to do anything. I just see. I saw a beast rise up out of the sea. And I said, oh my God, it's me. And I experienced this with a very real. I'm going to the how real it was. Saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. Now those 7 heads and 10 horns and all that, those are all of these different positions that are described in the Old Testament of the process and the trek of Israel. And it was okay to worship in Hebron and worship in these other places until the temple is fully dedicated. Now once you've presented yourself as a living sacrifice, then now the temple is fully dedicated. There is no more believing in Christ. That's gone. Now you live by the faith of Christ. There's no more trying to do. Now you're concerned only with Him. So now you begin to see, because you've risen out of the sea, and you begin to see this incredible beast that you are and that the human race is. And that all of these different heads and horns and crowns are all, there's 70 elders up here. The false temple has the same number of elders as the Sanhedrin does. And these 70 elders within you have ruled you for your whole life. In fact, you've worshipped them. You've given them breath. You've given them importance. You've given different aspects of yourself importance. Some of them, just by the act of living, you've discarded because they didn't work. You understand me? That's just by the act of living your life thus far. But all of them, every single one of them, have... And upon his heads, all of the heads, is the name of blasphemy. Now the name of blasphemy is a legal term. It's a technical term that means to deny the foundation. So every one of these places, every one of these things up here, where you have not brought every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, is the name of blasphemy. And that blasphemy... I can't tell you how serious blasphemy is. There's no words for it. It's like making a mockery of what the mystery of Christ is. And you do it all with all of these different things. Everything other than the cross, everything other than the emptying and abandonment of self, is blasphemy. Now, oh, shit. Yes, it's trying to, that's what, you know. All right, we'll do it. Hopefully we'll get there tomorrow. Buddy, have a little bit of takeaway this morning?
Yeah, I mean, that's all you can chew on that thing we just said. I was thinking about the word beast. It's probably, we forget it's, you know, it's like really just talking about an animal. You know, it's like, you know, forget that aspect of it. You know,
it's
like
just
going around, but you think you're something cool. You know, the word crowns and all this kind of stuff.
Right, because you have, the evil one has deceived you, and he's caused the entire world to wander after the beast, as we'll see in Revelation 13. Does anybody understand me? Then prove it. Live it. Stop being deceived by the bullshit. Remain at peace and I'll know you understand it. Some of you are probably even right now thinking about all this, you know, crap that you already know has failed you, but yet you're giving it more and more importance. It's just asinine. Time for repentance, true repentance. And that means leaving yourself behind. And to finally know with every muscle and nerve and fiber in you that He cannot and will not occupy where you are. Because of His grand and unbelievable humility. If you don't want this, I don't care. That's your business. If you don't want to have the peace of God that passes all understanding, then, you know, go learn some principles somewhere. I'm telling you, we're beyond principles. We are at the point of living by the faith of Christ, no longer faith in Him. And that means you have to get out of the way in order to live by the faith of Christ. You have to quit all of the charming and the phony aspects of life and live only by His faith. The just shall live by His faith and nothing more. And that can only be done by the daily, moment by moment, picking up of the cross. And I promise you, if you can ever see this, if you can capture this for a moment, then you'll never again hear another voice. No one can ever again deceive you, including all these voices in here. Anybody have any response?
When you say even now, some of you are probably, I almost laughed out loud because the thought occurred to me. I look around the room, I don't see any brain surgeons, I don't see any heads of state. I mean, those people might have it. They really don't, but they might have it. Thinking that what they're going to do today is like important. There's nobody's life depending on anything that anybody in this room is going to do. It's like little children dressing up in suits and thinking that they're doing something important. Pathetic.
All the world's a stage.
We just bump into each other.
Michael, any response?
Not really.
You understand?
Yeah, I found it kind of hard to not get any other way around here. Everybody's so weird. Especially my first came here. People are strange. Well, they won't really nod or give you any kind of...
Did you ever try to do small talk with me?
Yeah.
You're
the weird one.
What?
You're the weird one.
Well, it's because I'm bored with everything other than the cross. Anybody else? Gary, you got any expansions on the tail?
It touched me pretty deeply, just the uniting thing. That's what I think I was all about, was uniting.
Were you used to?
I was lacking eloquently. No, I'm 22. Temperature's below 20.
Yeah. Kevin?
The thought comes to my head is that I'm just an observer now. I used to worry about everything.
And the congregation said, amen. Amen and amen.
And the people of God said,
the offscouring of the earth said, amen. Take a big guy. I hurt so bad.